Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Live, online, streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
DSTV channel 856, 92.7 and 106 FM.
Professor Yap Defesa, Director of the Dalai Oma Institute, thank you very much for coming back with us within the same week. We thought we'd just continue the conversation with you, following, of course, the media briefing by Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma yesterday, the Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. 53 days, hey? That's what it is, before all South Africans who are qualified to do so and registered to do so go and vote for their next local government representatives. Your reflections on some of the statements made by the minister yesterday?
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to the listeners. Yeah, I suppose, you know, the race is back on. We're back on the rails in terms of preparing for the elections. And of course, the minister had to play her cards close to her chest in terms of what the impact of the core challenges that the DA has launched. You know, that may still throw a spanner in the works, but the race is back on, and the task of the IEC is enormous. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, they have to prepare 44 district ballots, 213 PR ballots, 4,500 ward ballots. That's for 257 municipalities. That's a total of 75 million ballots that need to be printed in about 2 weeks' time. And then, of course, we haven't even spoken about the logistics of voting day itself, you know, managing thousands of voting stations, sometimes in very, very difficult circumstances in informal settlements, in densely populated areas, in rural areas. It's a massive logistical exercise. And, you know, despite some of the misgivings we may have about, how the IEC's handled some of the decision-making, I think we have to have confidence in the IEC's role and the IEC's experience, and it has obviously delivered free and fair elections under difficult circumstances since 1994. I have confidence in the IEC, but yeah, there's of course still the DA challenge that is lurking in the background.
Which, at the essence, I suppose, of that DA challenge is seemingly a disagreement of the reading of the Constitutional Court order handed down last Friday. We touched on this on our conversation on Monday, where there are those who are of the school of thought that because the declaration of the election date of the 27th of October by the minister previously was regarded as unconstitutional, the IEC seems to think now it's able, obviously, to relook at its entire timetable and to allow for independent candidates and political party representatives to register once again. The DA and other political parties are of the view that no, that was the one aspect actually of the timetable, amongst many others, that was not allowed to be amended. You were allowed to have a voter registration weekend, which everybody unanimously supports, and that's going to happen next weekend. But very little else around that should be allowed to move. We haven't seen I haven't seen the papers that the DA has submitted, and I certainly had not seen the papers that the IEC submitted in response to it. But it's going to make for an interesting legal tussle, won't it?
It will be. Look, it's interesting, you know, for the lawyers, but I don't think it's good for the electoral process. I think we keep on casting shadows and doubts over the electoral process, and we keep reverting to the courts for that. And I don't think that's good for the legitimacy of the elections. Even though, again, I also want to add that everything is being done according to the rules of the game. You know, there's transparency. There is use of the institutions of democracy, you know, the courts, the IEC, the minister. So everything is according to the book, but it is confusing, and it does tarnish the legitimacy of the voters. And of course, the legal tussle is about, I think, as you summarize it, is it a normal electoral logic and a normal electoral sequence of events that should apply here, which is really that you close the voters' roll, and then whoever is on that voters' roll can be nominated for elections. That's the normal sequence of events. So that's what the IEC is following. But of course, there is the Constitutional Court order that said, yes, you can open the voters' roll and then do whatever is reasonably necessary to amend your timetable to accommodate that? And does that include opening nomination of candidates? Is that what the Constitutional Court meant? That is the, I suppose, more legal question. But overall, I think from a broader electoral democracy point of view, the IEC's decision is not illogical. It is the normal sequence of events in elections, but it is a bit of a stretch of an interpretation of the Constitutional Court order.
Tony in El Dorado Park is a listener who not only today but early in the week called in to be rather critical of the Constitutional Court, saying all of this could actually be helped out if the justices were to publish their judgment, where we read reams and reams and reams of paper that help us understand how they got to the Constitutional Court order that they handed down on Friday. So let me ask you this question. In the absence of the full judgment, and one could argue that perhaps, I don't know, whatever arguments that the DA is putting forward and responses from the IEC and other political parties could have been influenced by that. Do you agree with that sentiment, that had the Constitutional Court justices given us the entire judgment and therefore an understanding of how they got to the order that they handed down on Friday, we would be in a slightly better position?
We would have been in a better position because we would have been able to interpret the reasoning of the court and know exactly how it got to that decision, and probably also have clarity on this particular question. It's not completely uncommon for courts to issue orders without a fledged reasoned judgment. Sometimes it's just in the interest of keeping things on the rails and keeping the process moving and avoiding further delays that a court does that. So I don't think it's completely uncommon. In this case, it turned out to be quite a disadvantage for everyone who wants to understand particularly that question, even though I'm also taking you back to the issue that in front of that, in that court case itself, the EFF asked for a postponement for the nomination of candidates. The IEC itself, in the court proceedings, said, no, let's not do that because we won't make it. We don't have time. The Constitutional Court did answer the EFF request in the court order and said, no, we're not going to do that. But now the IEC returns and says, yes, we are going to do it. So, yeah, it does sort of make one wonder how this would have worked out if we had access to the judgment, and then we could have had more clarity on exactly what the Constitutional Court meant.
What you are sitting with, though, is the fact that the minister quite rightly yesterday spelt out what the timetable will be, given, of course, the new inputs into the equation, and that she intends to have the election taking place on the 1st of November, which I think is a wise decision. We've never held an election on a Monday in the history of our democracy, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays itself out. But she did argue yesterday, and I think many people would agree, the IEC will need as many days as possible for them to be able to ensure that we have a free and fair election. And if extending it to the extreme of the window period offered by the Constitutional Court is going to help, then so be it.
Yes, I think that seems to be the right call to be made by the minister. There were some voices that were arguing that perhaps we should have had elections on multiple days, given the pandemic. Why not have two voting days instead of one? So clearly the IEC must have ruled that out with the minister and pleaded with her not to do that, because I would imagine it has a lot to do with the enormous sensitivity of storing electoral material overnight and keeping voting stations open overnight. It means obviously you're not talking about a few voting stations, it's thousands and thousands of them. So there's a huge risk in extending that for longer hours and overnight. So we're going to have it on one day, at the furthest, you know, time possible, as far away from where we are now as possible, just to give the IEC time to prepare. And I think, it's going to be a huge logistical exercise, and particularly in those areas where this dense population, where we are accustomed to long queues and complicated scenarios in managing those voting stations, to do that in the context of a pandemic, I think is going to be a very, very important and difficult exercise for the IEC to manage.
There are very specific rules, Yap, at the moment around the special vote that often happens a day or two before the actual election date. We should also note, by the way, that the date of the election is a public holiday in South Africa, unlike many other countries around the world. So if you have more than one day, then you're declaring 2 days, if you like, as a public holiday. But could the IEC relax a little bit the rules around the special vote so that if Yap does not feel safe enough to go on the 1st of November to go and participate in the election, but can give medical grounds for him going on the Sunday or the Saturday to exercise a special vote. Do you think that that could be a consideration?
I can't give you a straight-off answer. I'd have to look that up a bit more and see exactly what the electoral regulations provide on special votes. It's always been used for very specific cases. You know, where you're really sort of impeded from going to the voting stations on voting day. But yeah, we may very well see a broadening of that interpretation to allow for more relaxation during the pandemic. But once again, the IEC will be careful because, as always, you know, elections and the integrity of elections, it really hinges on strict application of the rules fairly and equitably across all political parties, with as little room to maneuver as possible, because every little bit of perceived abuse of discretion is obviously going to be challenged by political parties and candidates.
No doubt. Professor Yap Dafisa, thank you very much as always for your insights. I imagine we'll have a few more conversations between now and the 1st of November. The director of the Dalla Omar Institute, the legal arguments having been submitted, of course, to the Constitutional Court regarding the DA's intention to have the IEC's decision to allow for the registration of candidates, that window being opened again. A decision will have to be made before next week, Friday, at the very latest, right? Because the registration weekend happens on the Saturday and Sunday. The 20th, which is the following Monday, the minister proclaims the election date of the 1st of November. And according to the IEC's reviewed calendar, on the 20th and the 21st, those who are wishing to contest the local government elections will be given opportunity to register again. So a decision would have had to have been made, a judgment would have been handed down by the Constitutional Court, I imagine, at the latest, the Friday before. It's 20 minutes past 5.